Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Last week, I was with your pastor in New Jersey on a Wednesday night. We were at a conference that, again, has grown tremendously. And you ever have a Mexican type of meal? And if you order enchilada, last week, Pastor Chapel was the big enchilada. Amen? Yeah. We were looking forward to him coming, and there was quite a group of pastors from the region of the Northeast, West Coast thinker, Northeast over there, and he was very, very well received. And I told him, now look Pastor, we want the whole enchilada tonight. We want everything. I'll be the chips and salsa, and we're only going to eat a little bit of that. Then you come and please give him everything you got. I think he finished about 10-15. We got the whole shot. And everybody was very attentive all the way through. When he was done, he had given, I texted him later and I said, thanks for giving your all. Because he gave us everything. And I like that about your preacher. So as you pray, I realize you miss him tonight, miss the pastor's wife. So tonight we get the chips and salsa. Amen? All right. That's good. Take your Bibles tonight. I want to show you something to study with me just a little bit. And look at Genesis chapter 39. We're going to bounce around just a little bit. Genesis chapter 39. And I want you to see a little principle, if you would. Genesis chapter 39. Thanks for being faithful tonight. I know you've had a busy summer. Genesis chapter 39. Many of you studied Joseph before. I want you to see verse number 5. Genesis 39, verse 5. It says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that's Potiphar's house, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, that's Potiphar's house, for whose sake? Say it, for whose sake? Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he, Potiphar, had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Please look up here just for a moment. Here's Joseph right here. I'm going to put him right here. And he's over Potiphar's house. And then some things happen and he ends up, if you would, going to another journey place in his life. And look at verse 23. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, speaking about Joseph, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to what, everybody? Prosper. So here he was over Potiphar's house. And then some things happened that put him in prison, if you would. And in prison, the keeper of the prison put everything under Joseph's hand. And then if you would, look at chapter 41. Chapter 41. And notice what Pharaoh did in verse number 40. 41, verse number 40. You're doing great. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, verse 41, I have set thee over, notice, all the land of Egypt. Now, please watch carefully, if you would, just to get the pattern of this thing. So here's Joseph, and he's leading Potiphar's house. But I want to tell you this, in leading Potiphar's house, he was limited. He wasn't reaching his full potential yet. And I want to tell you something as a Christian here tonight, both male and female. Sometimes we're involved in something and we believe, you know, this is what God has called us to, and it probably is. But sometimes God says, but I have more for you. What you're doing, Joseph, over Potiphar's house, you're limited because what I'm going to do is I'm going to laterally shift you and I'm going to open up your opportunities and I'm going to make you ruler over all the land of Egypt, which, by the way, includes Potiphar's house. Once in a while, a Christian will be involved in leadership or involved influentially. And God will see what he's doing, obviously, and placed him there. And God will then say, now, I'm getting ready to laterally shift you. And by the way, that doesn't mean you leave the geographical location you're at. God can influence and raise up your influence and raise up your opportunities and keep you in the same vicinity of location. A lot of people think, well, I've got to go somewhere to be more influential. Please, you can be more influential right where you're at if God's in it. So here is Joseph under Potiphar's house. But under Potiphar's house, he was limited. He was restricted. And God wanted to move him over laterally, if you would, and shift him over to where he was going to become the leader and the influencer and the ruler and the manager of all the land, which included Potiphar's house. But I want to make this statement to you. I want you to think with me how he made and how he went through and got to that lateral shift. And listen to me carefully. When God sometimes laterally shifts us or laterally moves us in our life, typically there's an unfairness involved. What do you mean? Joseph was unfairly accused and ended up where at? In where? Prison. And when he was in prison, he was right in God's will. I'm not saying you have to go to prison to be laterally shifted, but I'm saying something may happen or be happening in your life right now that it seems like it's unfair, but if God's in it, don't worry, everything's going to come out okay. And when Joseph went down, before honor comes humility. And God was humbling Joseph, if you would, and taking him down. And when he came out of this situation and Pharaoh dreamed a dream and Joseph interpreted that dream, if you would, the opportunities for Joseph went through the roof, so to speak. There was no roof and he became leader over the whole land. But it was through a situation that was unfair in his life. Sometimes, may I say, when God promotes, sometimes he promotes through tribulation. Sometimes he promotes through trials. Sometimes he promotes through a downward trend, if you would. And so here's Joseph under Potiphar's house. He's the ruler over Potiphar's house, and God is blessing him, and he is already a leader, but he's not the leader he's going to become. But in order to get there, he's falsely accused, it's unfair, and downward he goes. He ends up in prison for a period of time, but while he's in prison, the keeper of the prison says, I'm going to put everything under Joseph's hand. So while he's a prisoner, he's a leader. And then when the dream is done and Joseph comes out of this thing and gets to where God wants him to go, now it's limitless of what God has for him to do. But I want to show you a statement that Joseph made. And if you're going through maybe a period of time, something like this, look at Genesis 39 again. Genesis chapter 39. And Genesis chapter 39, the butler shows up. And Joseph says something to the butler who's going to live. Look at Genesis 39, look at verse 14. Joseph's now in prison. He's in the unfair time of his life. He says, but think on me to the butler when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. But look at his mindset. Look what he says. For indeed I was what? I was what? Say it, everybody. Come on. I was stolen away. Say it. I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, verse 15. And here also have I done what? Nothing. That they should put me into the dungeon. You know what was Joseph was thinking? I was stolen away. They threw me in the pit. And here also, I've done nothing. When they stole me away, I didn't do anything wrong. And here also, now I'm in prison. I don't even know what I've done to be put into prison. And here also, I've done nothing. Let me make this statement. Sometimes when we're in a lateral shift in our life, and there's some unfairness, tribulation going on, and some trials going on, right in the middle of this thing, have you ever thought, what in the world did I do wrong? I'm trying to search my life out, and I know I'm not perfect, and I don't know what I've done to deserve this. It just seems like it's unfair. And sometimes when God laterally shifts us, there's an unfairness to it until we come out on the other side when the opportunities open up, and we know it's God that did it. Now, I want you to take your Bible. Stay with me. Everybody still all right? Illustration number two, look at the book of Acts, chapter number 7. Acts, chapter number 7. When I say you're all, are you all right, just say amen whether you're all right or not. That way I'll preach a lesser time. Acts, chapter number 7. Acts, chapter number 7. If you haven't figured it out yet, preachers, if you agree with them, They don't preach as long, amen? If you disagree with them or get a little cantankerous on them, they'll just preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. Acts chapter 7, look at it if you with me would. And let's look at Moses' life just for a moment. And look what it says in Acts chapter 7. Thank you. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. And when he, Moses, was full 40 years old, notice what it says. It came into his heart. Underline that in your Bible. It came into his heart. Would you make a little note? God put something into the heart of Moses. Because the it that came into his heart was coming from God to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And notice verse number 25. He supposed his brethren would have understood, here's what came into his heart, how that God, by his hand, would do what? Deliver them. That's what came into his heart. At 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. And what came into his heart was to visit his brethren and go over and deliver them from their oppression as slaves. For he supposed his brother would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. Please look up here just for a moment, second illustration. So here's Moses as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses as the son of Pharaoh's daughter was limited. But Moses was already a leader as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What do you mean? The Bible said he was mighty in word and in deed as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was limited. And God had a plan for him, and God was going to take him through a lateral shift in his life, and he was going to get to a place where he would go back and lead the children of Israel out of the slavery. But there were some things that had to happen between that time. So here's Moses at 40 years old as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he supposed his brethren would have understood what came into his heart. You see, Moses was living as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but his family were still living as slaves. Miriam, Aaron, they were living as slaves. And so it came into his heart, and he supposed they would have understood. And so he went over, if you would, to do what he thought God had put his heart to deliver them. And if you remember, he killed an Egyptian. When he killed the Egyptian, his brethren said, you know, who made you the judge over us? Who made you our deliverer? And Pharaoh found out that he killed an Egyptian, and Pharaoh started chasing Moses, and he fled out into the wilderness. And for 40 years, he lived in exile, watching sheep. I mean, to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and to be mighty in words and deed, and now thinking that he was supposed to deliver the children of Israel, killed the Egyptians, his own rejected him. Pharaoh's trying to cut him down and kill him now. He goes out into the wilderness, and there he is out in the wilderness for 40 years watching sheep and waiting. You might be in that waiting period of time right now. Because it was somewhat unfair when Moses, the book of Hebrews said, decided, I'll no longer be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm choosing to suffer affliction with my people because something came into my heart to go and deliver them, and God gave me that. But when I went to do it, God didn't bless me. God didn't really help me, and I thought they would have understood, and they didn't. And now here I am, and I'm fled, and I'm out here watching Jethro's sheep on the backside of the desert on a mountain. What happened? Well, God still had a plan for him. Amen. The bush was going to burn. Amen. And when the bush burned, God said, now it's time. And he went back in and said, let my people go. And God, if you would, took him right back out to that same mountain again, and the cloud overcovered and overshadowed the mountain. And there he was back up on that same mountain, receiving the Ten Commandments, which with over a million Jewish people down there that now he was leading. My point is this, he started as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was limited. But what happened to him was unfairness. I'm going to tell you something. God uses unfairness all the time. God uses situations in our life that's unfair. In this big a crowd, somebody right now tonight is going through unfairness. Something's not what you planned. Something's not what kind of, it's a little confusing right now, and it doesn't seem like it's going well. Moses, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, it came into his heart, and he chose, rather than to be, if you would, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he chose to suffer affliction with his people, thinking that God was going to use him to deliver them, but he didn't know there was going to be a 40-year delay. And now he killed an Egyptian trying to, if you would, resolve the conflict of the oppression, and his brothers rejected him. And now he goes to the wilderness, if you would, and for 40 years he's out there on the backside of the desert watching sheep, waiting, thinking, what's going on? I thought you sent me to deliver them, God. I thought you were in on this thing. I thought you put that in my heart. Oh, God did. But God's timing is always God's timing because he's sovereign. And we don't do it in our timing, we do it in his timing. And when it all happened the right way, hey, may I say to you, the potential was limitless on what Moses was going to do under the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was restricted. But through that unfair tribulation that he went through, even thinking that God had put it in his heart, which he did, but he thought it was now, and he hung on to that thing and hung on to that thing, and now he's out watching sheep on a cold mountainside, no doubt wondering, what in the world? But God at the right time burned the bush. You say, now wait a minute, how did it work out? Please, Moses lived to be 120 years old. He was 40 years old when he decided, I'm done being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was 80 years old when the bush finally burned and God said, now it's time. He still had a third of his life left, and it was the best third of his life. Did you hear what I said? Hey, I'm right now, in my opinion, and it doesn't matter what your opinion about me is, my opinion about myself is I'm in the best third of my life right now. You say, just keep telling yourself that. See, I'm not going to listen to what you tell me. I just know I'm in the best third of my life right now. I'm 57 years old, and look, I got to tell you something. What I knew at 25 and what I knew at 50, at 57, I'm in my last third, and I'm in the best third. It's the time when God can open up opportunities and opportunities. And please understand something. And I'm not moving geographically. I don't have to move geographically for God to open up more opportunities. You know what's interesting? Moses, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, why do you keep doing this? Just like Joseph under Potiphar's house was limited, Moses, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, was limited. And so out he goes unfairly. He kills the Egyptian. Pharaoh starts chasing him. He goes to exile and he ends up on a mountain. And he's watching sheep up there. And God says, when the bush burns, here's the token, Moses, so you'll know that I'm in it. I'll bring you back to this same mountain. So he goes back. He goes in and says, let my people go, which he thought he was supposed to do 40 years ago. Let my people go. God plagues them and out they go. And please look up here. The cloud that he's following, he doesn't choose to go to the mountain. The cloud sits on that mountain. He knows the way up that mountain. He's been up there many times before. And that's the mountain he went up with Joshua to receive the Ten Commandments. Oh, God knows what he's doing. But sometimes there's a period of unfairness because that's our period of humility. And we need that period of humility. You don't have to be a pastor to go through this. You don't have to be a male to go through this. It doesn't matter the age that you might go through this. I'm not saying everybody goes through it, but if you're going through it right now, I want to tell you something. God's not done with you, and you're saying, but it just seems unfair. It's supposed to. What do you mean? Joseph was falsely accused. He didn't do anything wrong. Moses was being chased by Pharaoh. Let me show you another one. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. Everybody still all right? Amen. Say amen right there. You're doing well. You're getting it now, amen. Let me give you some encouragement. We're halfway done with the message. Maybe. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. And look what David says in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. And the Bible says, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? Stop there. David goes to Jonathan and he says, why is your father Saul after me? What have I done? What is my iniquity? What sin did I do to your father that he seeketh my life? Understand the concept. Here's David under Saul's reign. And under Saul's reign, David is limited. He kills Goliath, but God's got so much more for him to do. When under Saul's reign, he kills Goliath, please understand, Saul promotes him to being the captain of the host. He's the general of the entire army. And then the women come back and start singing. And the women sing about Saul has slain his thousand, but David his what? 10,000s. And when Saul hears that, he gets jealous and he demotes David. Now he becomes a captain of 1,000. And then Saul starts chasing him. And please look up here. It's unfair. David didn't do anything wrong. And Saul's chasing him now. And David ends up in a cave with 400 in distress, in debt, and discontented. Baptist, amen. And he's got 400 in a cave. Wait a minute. This is the guy that killed Goliath. This is the guy that became captain of the host. This is the guy that married Saul's daughter. This is the guy that didn't do anything wrong, that now he was unfairly treated, and downward he goes into humility. In a cave, running, fleeing. But God's got a plan for him. It's not going to be David reaching his potential under Saul's reign. It will David going through unfairness, and downward he goes, unfairness, unfairness. Promoted and then demoted because of the jealous rage of Saul and the unfair treatment of Saul. And finally, if you would, David, even though he was anointed that whole time of that unfairness, finally comes out and becomes king over Judah and then king over all Israel. What am I saying? Back here is when David was anointed to be king, and then he went through a period of unfairness. Sometimes you get your calling. God gives you the purpose of your life, and then it gets real unfair. And you say, that's not what we planned on at all. I thought you said this was supposed to happen, and that was going to happen. Wait a minute. What I expected, oh, that's our problem. That's my problem. I didn't expect all the negative. You know what we dream of? Here's the way it's going to be. It's going to be wonderful. And we don't dream of the negative. Do you sit there and dream of negative? Oh, let me dream, let me visionary the plan. I don't insert all the unfairness and all the negative because I don't know it's coming. I didn't know you'd had financial problems. I didn't know health problems would come up. I didn't know people would slander me. I didn't know people would make things up about me. Come on, are you still with me? Amen. I didn't know that person at work would lie about you. I didn't know this was going to happen. Okay, watch the pattern now. We're almost there. Here's Joseph under Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife says, here's what he did. He didn't do it. Unfairness, unfairness, unfairness. When Joseph dreamed a dream, he didn't expect all that. Sometimes we have to throw our expectations out for a little while during unfairness and accept it. And down into prison he goes, and he said to the butler, would you remember me? I was stolen, and also here I've done nothing that I'd be put in this dungeon. 2 years later goes by. Why 2 years? God's going to wait till he's 30 years old. Why? He's a type of Christ. You still with me? Did I lose you right there? Jesus was 30 years old when the Father said, it's time. And John the Baptist and the baptism in the river, he was 30 years old. Joseph was 30 years old when it was time to come out of prison. Now, I got to tell you, somebody says, well, what do you do when you're past 30? He's not done with you yet. I'm saying God has perfect timing. He's not forgotten about you. It doesn't seem like I'm being promoted. I know. That way will it appreciate it more when it finally happens. And Joseph comes out over here, and in one day, 24-hour period, he goes from stinking, filthy, smelly. Brethren, this prison didn't have TV. No day room. No sanitary facilities. He was in a dungeon where they kept the king's prisoners. And don't think that that meant they treated him better. That means they treated them worse. But at the right time, God says, now that dream, it's time. And now you're over all the land, including Potiphar's house. You know, I remember when Pastor Chapel, I showed up at the old building one day to greet him, and we were having a little meeting, and he was in there painting. I come in, and Pastor Chapel's still has hair. I can do that because I had hair at the time too. And he's in there painting. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Good. Just Brother Fisher, be with you a minute. I need to finish this wall. He's in there painting. Who would have known? But don't you think possibly there was a little unfairness along the way? Oh, he may not talk about it. But his expectations of reaching this area didn't probably include the unfairness. What was said about him? What's sometimes said about us? By who? Doesn't matter who. It's all part of the process. Because when God sees that broken and contrite heart, wasn't it last year that Pastor went through a little period of time where his blood pressure went up a little bit? Come on, he told you a little bit about that. That wasn't expected. That's not something we had part of the plan. You say, what come out of that? Oh, I'm convinced out of all that comes greater opportunity. Here's Moses as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had it made, mighty in words and deeds. He learned the language of the Egyptian. He was there for 40 years as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he was already a leader. Then it came into his heart. What came in his heart? To go and deliver his brethren. And he supposed they would have understood, and he decided, I'm no longer the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm done with this. I'm going to go join my people. But he thought it was going to happen right away. He kills the Egyptian, and all of a sudden he's on the run by the people that he used to be in good stead with. Now they're chasing him. What do you mean? The son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't you think Pharaoh thought well of him? Now that same man that used to think well of him is chasing him because now he's over here trying to help the Hebrews, and he exiles. Out there on the mountain, it was unfair. But he was in God's will. Perfectly in God's will. Watching sheep on the Mount of God that he would later come back to. So here's David. David's the armor bearer to Saul. David's the harp player to Saul. David's cunning. David's a mighty warrior. David kills Goliath. He didn't take the glory. He killed Goliath for Saul. And the same guy that he served now becomes bitter at him. And it's unfair. Do you see a pattern? And now that same guy is after him, chasing him, trying to slander him, David. And David's on the run, and he goes to Jonathan and says, "What have I done wrong? What have I done to your dad?" But God has a plan. He's going to open up his potential. Can I show you one more? Are you getting this or not?
Yes.
And you might say in here tonight, I don't know if this applies to me. Add one more word. Right now or tonight. Because if you're seeking to do more for the Lord, sometimes God will put you through the unfair humility slide as he laterally shifts you and gives you more opportunity. You say, why would he do that? So you don't think you did it. Does it have to be unfair? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you don't have to go through that. But some of us will. So let me show you one more. Look at the book of Acts. Stay with me. You're doing great. Acts chapter number... Let's go to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. So Saul's on the road to Damascus, and Saul is going to hear the Lord. And verse 4, Acts 9, 4, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And you know what? Saul is being chosen. He's being chosen, if you would, as the apostle to the Gentiles. And Saul's without sight for 3 days, and Ananias comes in, and God works that whole thing out. But I want you to see what happens, if you would. Verse 22. "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews." What was confounding to him? Verse 20. "Straightway he," Saul, "preached Christ." Saul was the one who used to put people in prison and cause them to blaspheme and injuring for those that preach Christ. And now he's preaching Christ in the synagogues, that he's the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed. They said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name?" I mean, what's going on here? Verse 22, "Saul increased the more in strength." And look what happens, verse 23. "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to do what?" The same ones that he used to be in good stead with now were trying to chase him to kill him. Well, their laying in wait was known, and so you know the disciples took him by night, let him down over the wall in a basket, verse 25. And notice verse 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to" who? The disciples. But you know what? They were all what? Afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Okay, watch. You're doing great. So here's Paul as a Pharisee. At that time, he's called Saul. And as a Pharisee, he was well groomed at the feet of Gamaliel. He was there at the killing of a famous evangelist, and they were grooming him, and he was committing them to prison, the Christians. And then on the road to Damascus, God spoke to him, and on a downward slide of humility, he went. But he was heading towards his potential. Because as a Pharisee, he wasn't at his potential yet. He was going to be at his potential as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, over here as a Pharisee, he hated the Gentiles. Prejudiced. Saul was prejudiced against the Gentiles. And you know what God does sometimes? He says, "I'm going to change your heart completely around, and those that you used to hate, you're going to serve the rest of your life." It's not what he expected. So here he is as a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, but he was limited. And then on the road to Damascus, it began to happen. 3 days, no sight, Ananias, and downward he goes, and he's confounded, and he doesn't know what's going on. Saul. But he says, God tells him, you know, that I have I'm choosing you for something, and it all begins to work out a little bit. And then the next thing you know, the people he used to be friends with are after him to kill him. And the people that he would like to work with now, they're all afraid of him because he's been wreaking havoc on the churches back when he was Saul. So he's kind of in a rock and a hard place right here. What do you mean? There's a little period of time where, gee, I didn't expect all this. This is not what I expected. And so you know what the apostles do? Please look up here. They send him off to Tarsus for 3 years, back home. Joseph's 2 years, Moses 40 years, David in exile, we don't know how long, and Saul went to Tarsus for 3 years. I'm saying there's always a period of time involved where we have to be patient. How long is it going to be? I don't know, 2 years? 3 years at Tarsus? 2 years in prison? 40 years on the mountain? Or we don't know how long with David. Brethren, let's just let God be God. Amen. And let him choose it. But the expectations we have to be careful about, this wasn't what I expected. Sometimes I'll have people, Pastor, I need to talk to you. What's going on? I don't know. I thought God put something in my heart and I made a commitment to him. And all I know is ever since I made that commitment, it's going down the tubes. It's getting worse. Ever since I told him I'd do that, it's just getting worse. And I'm thinking, good, wonderful. And I'll ask them, and is it unfair? Is there unfairness going on? Oh, yeah. You don't know what's going on. This is going on and that's going on. I say, oh, good. Good. This is very good. How can you say it's good? Because it's not you doing it. It's God in charge through the unfairness. Amen. It's Christ-like. Amen. What? How can it be Christ-like? Well, here's Jesus with a crown of thorns. And it's unfair. They falsely accuse him. They make him into a criminal. Come on, yes or no? And the Father's watching the whole thing as downward he goes. What do you mean Christ goes downward? As a suffering Savior, downward he goes. They spit on him. They mock him. They beat him to where you couldn't even tell he was a man. They falsely accuse him. And he humbles himself and became obedient to the crucifixion, the worst death there was. They stick him up on a cross. And on the cross, he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In our place, that happened. Come on, yes or no? It says the Father smote him. Instead of the Father smiting you and me, he smote the Son. He was smitten of God. You say, was that the end? Downward he went into the lower parts of the earth. Yes or no? Downward he went. You say, was he confused? No, he's God. But it was unfair. He didn't do anything wrong. He was sinless. Well, where's he come out at? When we see him, he's going to have a crowns of many crowns. It's not a crown of thorns anymore. Now there's many crowns and he is Lord of lords and King of kings. So everything we've just read and studied is Christ-like. We're partakers sometimes of his sufferings. Okay, so here it is. We're done. Joseph as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Joseph in Potiphar's house went through an unfair, downward, humiliating, and came out to where he was over the whole land of Egypt and reached his potential. Moses, as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, was limited, made a choice because something came into his heart and downward he went. Unfairness, 40 years later, God says the bush burns, and now it's time for you to go deliver that which I put in your heart 40 years ago. David, the armor bearer to Saul, now Saul's after him. He's anointed, David's anointed king already, but he's in exile running, and he didn't do anything wrong. He killed Goliath. He didn't slander Saul. He honored him, but Saul's after him, and David comes out just fine under the anointing of his life to be the king over Judah and over Israel. Saul, did it ignorantly, but man, he slandered Christians. He committed them to prison. He was against them. And on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, and downward he goes. But God's got a plan for him. There's a period of unfairness where he's confused and doesn't know what's going on. But downward he goes. Finally, he's got the Jews chasing him to kill him, and he's got the disciples that don't want him around. They're afraid of him, so they send him off to Tarsus. But when it's time, Barnabas goes out and gets him, and he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. And Jesus came to this earth, and he was born and laid in a manger. We hear about his birth, please. We hear about him at the age of 12, and then we don't hear about him. What was he doing at 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 22 and 23? All we know is he was the carpenter's son. You say, what do you think he did? Well, they all called him, isn't this the son of the carpenter? Isn't this Joseph's son? You say, what do you think he did? Maybe he swept sawdust and shavings. And became an obedient son to the Joseph. Because he was, you know what everybody knew him as? It's the carpenter's son. Can't you see him at 14 years old walking to work with Joseph? You say, what do you think he did? Whatever Joseph asked him to do. What was he doing? Waiting. Kind of in obscurity. 30 years old, he begins, starts to be mocked, starts to be, the Pharisees attack him. Finally, they put a crown of thorns on him, stir up the people against him. The Roman soldiers criticize him and mock him. Downward he goes. The Bible said he humbled himself and he learned some things, it says. That's amazing to me. And downward he went. But at the right time, he laid his life down freely, but then he took it back up again, and he suffered hell for us. And now, when we see him, a crowns of many crowns, King of kings and Lords of lords, maybe what you're going through is Christ-like. If it's unfair. Ladies, if you see your husband going through something that's unfair, perfect. Men, it may be unfair what God has allowed your wife to go through or your family. But it's only fair because of our expectations. At 48, I went through a 9-month depression. I was suicidal for 2 months. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was insane, never coming out of it, crying in the fetal position in my bed. Didn't want to come up, didn't want to come out, would go and preach at church and think I did terribly. Hope was gone. I don't mind if you judge me on that because some of you know what depression is. But it was another downward thing for me before God opened up some new things. And by the way, nobody was at me in that depression. I was at myself pretty hard. But there still was thoughts of, I'm sorry. I told my wife, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're married to me. I'm sorry we don't have a better father. I'm sorry we don't have a better pastor. I'm sorry you don't have a better husband. Because when you lose hope and lose confidence and your mind is shaken, it can really mess you up. But tonight, I'm fairly normal. I didn't say completely normal. I said fairly normal. And so far today, I didn't cry over no hope. Because God gave the hope back. Sometimes we take hope for granted. And downward I went. Didn't think I'd ever be standing here tonight. So if you're going through it, why don't you thank the Lord and lower your expectations a bit? And realize there might be some unfairness.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.